Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Shred Show Live, where we bring you industry professionals, entrepreneurs, and the best of the best from around the world who are willing to share how they shred, the strategies, the techniques, and the actionable items that you need in your business to go out and dominate. Join us as we shred, show up, hustle, repeat every day. Let's go. Is up, ladies and gentlemen. Again, welcome to the Shred Show Live. As I mentioned, Rene Rodriguez has been such an impactful leader to so many people throughout our industry, but he has been even more an amazing friend and mentor to myself. So I'm so very grateful for having Rene join me for the first time on the Shred Show. What's up, Rene?
Good to see you, my man. I'm staring over here so I can share this to our platforms. Good to be here, my brother.
Dude, I'm so excited to have you on here. And I'm glad we finally have you on the Shred Show. You've been one of those people who I would say the majority of people know who Rene Rodriguez is. They've seen you on stage. They've been impacted and influenced by you, by the things that you share, by everything that you continually give back to so many people. And I'm excited to be diving into a conversation today, especially when it comes to amplifying our influence going into this new year. But before we do that, let's get to know Rene a little bit better. For maybe those who don't know, who haven't heard your story, share a little bit about you and what got you here today.
Yeah, one, thank you. I'm just going to bring you to all my events and have you just open it up. Be good. I'll get out of the way. No, I appreciate all that. That's very kind of you. I don't know. It's an interesting question because when you think about here, I still feel the same place that I felt 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but it's internally, it's been such a slow progression through what it is that I do. But I started selling cookware door to door in college, and that was right after I got cut from the basketball team, and then started working with a change management firm that used brain research for creating behavior change and culture change and hostile work environment. So my start was really in learning how to deal with the people that nobody wanted to deal with, and how do you get them to buy into you. And so dealing with salespeople has always been a fun thing, and had to learn how to keynote and speak because my mother had a stroke and she couldn't run the business anymore. And so I had to learn how to do all that stuff. And so my passion is just the brain, how it works, but really mostly on the application side. So I've had the fortunate opportunity to work in your industry, or actually the mortgage industry and real estate industry, for 21 years now, but alongside of a lot of other ones too. So it's been a long journey.
It has been a long journey for you, and hearing some of those things, it's so for me, it's inspirational to hear from somebody like yourself who has started door-to-door sales and now has grown into an entrepreneur of entrepreneurs. Now you teach and you coach some of the most influential people, not only in mortgage, but throughout like just our entire world. And it's so humbling to have somebody like you on the show to come and share just a few nuggets, because Rene, I think you would agree with this right now more than ever, especially in the mortgage and real estate world. Times are tough. Things are difficult. And there's a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of fear going on. But you're one of those people, every time I've heard you on stage, every time I've seen you interact with people, you're always bringing positivity and a different mindset, a place of influence, really getting people to understand who they are and the influence that they can carry. So as we get in this conversation today, I'm actually very intrigued. Influence. What is influence? How does Rene Rodriguez, how do you define influence?
So when I look at selling, persuasion, leadership, and even I think the very essence of life, it's about how do we share an idea in a way that impacts the world. And so, it's everybody has influence in a different way. You're influencing through your show. I think you stream as well. You do emceeing. The impact that we're all looking to have. And so the best way to understand influence is the opposite of it. You walk in a room and no one notices. You tell a joke, no one laughs. You sell a product, no one buys. You share an idea, no one cares. You cast a vision, no one follows. That's a pretty horrible feeling. And somebody would say it's a feeling of being invisible. I'd say it's a feeling of insignificance. And so you play out that word insignificant. If you're in a meeting and you felt insignificant, you'd ask yourself, why am I here? If you were in a relationship and you felt insignificant, you'd ask yourself, why am I in this relationship? If you were at work and you felt insignificant, you'd say, why do I work here? Now, some people, unfortunately, fall around, walk around life feeling insignificant, and they ask themselves, why are they even here? And so that why am I here is another way of saying, what's my purpose? Like, why do I exist? And if I can't seem to impact anyone, then I have no reason to exist. And so that really gets at the core of the human experience to me, when you really, 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 really think about it. And so then you bring influence back. I walk in a room, people notice. I tell jokes, people laugh. I sell products, people buy. I share ideas, they love them. I cast a vision and people follow and take action. I don't question why I'm here anymore. It's pretty crystal clear. And so to me, your purpose is directly correlated with your influence. And where we have influence is usually where our purpose lies. And that's where we get the most fulfillment. And you talk about from a leadership perspective, you cannot be a leader without influence. It's impossible. You can't sell without influence. Imagine a parent with no influence. Imagine a police officer with no influence. Imagine a podcaster with no influence. It's pretty meaningless at that point. And so we just get caught up in the vanity part of influence and like how many followers I have. And we get caught up with, am I on the big stages? Do I write the big stuff? And, by the way, I love followers and I love a stage and I love writing books, but that's not the core of it at all. Those are fun expressions of it. And they serve the ego nicely and they feel good. But the truest essence of influence is my ability to have an idea, get people to listen to it, and then have them act on it, period.
Whoa, dude, I legit have goosebumps after that explanation. I honestly, you even breaking that down, Renee, I've heard so many people define influence, and especially in what I do, interviewing and talking to people, I've heard a lot of different ideas and thoughts of what influence is, but how you just broke it down there, having a purpose, understanding that, is something that I think is so profound yet so simple. And especially as we've come out of the last couple of years, especially in the mortgage industry of difficulty, finding that purpose is absolutely critical. So I want to piggyback off that. How do you do it? Like, because people are struggling, let's just call it as it is. How do you find that? Maybe there's people listening today that are doubting themselves, are doubting their abilities, their own skills. How do you find it? How do you find purpose?
Well, I think you're dead on. I think people are doubting themselves because the market created a consoling illusion of value creation over the last 3 years. If you were in this industry, and you were dealing with low interest rates and everybody wanting your house and it was easy to get, it's easy to think that that's the value creation process, but it's really just the order taking process, which by the way is a needed skill. But value creation is very different. And the narrative and the story we tell ourselves during this time will determine how we interpret this time, and how we interpret this time will determine how we feel about this time. It's the only explanation we have for why two people can go through the same exact experience and come out feeling completely differently. It's the narrative difference, period. We've got access to the same books, the same training, same interest rates, the same everything, but somebody just performs a little bit better and somebody comes out feeling just a little bit better. Now, setting aside emotional or mental illness, or setting aside depression, anxiety, which we need to start questioning a little bit, by the way. There are things that we can do to pull us out of that deficiency. But setting aside the true expressions of what those are, the majority of us have more control than we realize. And when we look at a market like this, my demeanor, I sometimes watch my podcasts and I seem so serious on them. And I've been debating for 2024, do I show more personality? But then I get on one and I get very thoughtful. I'm in my thoughts and I take these from a very serious perspective because I think they're serious topics. And I think we've got enough yellers and screamers in the world that from a keynote perspective that, I don't know, I want to bring some thinking to the table. And also there's a mental toughness that's required in this, and a mental toughness that's going to be, this isn't easy. And if we start chasing easy, your life is going to be miserable. That doesn't mean I don't want easy from time to time. It doesn't mean I don't want happiness. Of course, we all want it, but I want something deeper than that. I want something that's on the other end of suffering and discipline and sacrifice. I want something that is more fulfilling, and there isn't anything very fulfilling that is on the other end of ease. And so I've never felt fulfilled after something easy, and I don't think anybody has. And so I think we have to reframe our relationship with suffering and difficulty and sacrifice. if it was easy, we wouldn't appreciate it. We think we do. We think we would, but we just won't. Go back to anything that comes easy. Anybody who's raised in money doesn't appreciate the money. In fact, I know people that have been inherited millions, and they feel it was the worst thing that ever happened to them because it killed their drive. And when you deplete or you deprive a child of suffering, when you deprive a child of disappointment, of coming in last place and feeling it, of not getting a trophy, it sucks not getting a trophy, but it should drive you to go, huh, I need to work harder. That's what it should create. Well, I already got one, so I did good. No, you sucked. You struck out every at bat. You still got a trophy? It's not about treating the child poorly. It's about creating a realistic expectation that life isn't like that. You can't strike out at work and still get paid. You just can't strike out in relationships and still have somebody respect you. It's not what it is. And so I think, you know, we got to look at today's market from the perspective of what story are you telling yourself? Because the media is happy to tell the story for you. The media is happy to. So are politics. So is your competitor. So are all the negative people. But you and I both know the top dogs in here, the ones that are killing it, they have a very different story that they tell. And for some odd reason, they tell a story of opportunity, of hard work, of uncovering value that isn't seen, and of going out there and making it happen. They all share the same story. And isn't it ironic that they also do better?
This is something, Renee, as you share this and as you talk through this, I know a lot of people listening today, as they go through these difficulties, because I'm 100% with you and completely understand where you're coming from. There are others who are saying, well, Josh, Renee, but I was dealt a crappy hand. You can't say that everybody was dealt the same hand I was given this, but it's true, especially we're talking mortgage and real estate industry professionals in particular here. We all were, sure, things happen in life. We all have individual circumstances and situations, but at the same time, there are people who are not going to step up to the plate. And to the idea that you're even talking about too, I truly believe over the next few months, even going into this next entire year, there are people who are going to take the challenge, as you were talking about, and they're going to rise to the occasion, and they're going to come out stronger than they ever thought they could become. And that's going to make them a better salesperson. It's going to make them a better husband, better wife, better father. It's going to make them better in all aspects. But for those people who are asking, well, I got the short end of the stick. I was dealt, you know, a short hand. What do you say to those people?
If you're my competitor, good. You were, and you should stop. But now, if here's the reality, we all have a sob story of some sort. Every single one of us has the ability to create something. We were all dealt a different set of cards. And what people that are, if they're focused on their set of cards, what they lack is perspective. And they're too worried about their own perception of the world, and they lack the perspective that really the collective perspective is what makes the closest sense of reality. My perspective is my reality only for me. Your perspective is your reality only for you. And operating from my own perception gives me zero advantage in the world. It gives me zero, because if there's 10 people in the room, there's 10 perspectives. If I operate from mine, well, there's 9 other perspectives I'm missing. That's a lot of data that I should probably have in my decision of how the world actually functions. But it's much safer to be in mine. And if you're listening to this and you don't think that people do that, okay, how about take a day, take a week, and operate from the perspective of the opposite of your political belief. Go hang out with them. You know what? Here's the cool part. You can always go back to your belief. You can always go back, but why not just take a minute? I would go to a different church for a while, just for the fun of it. Check out what it's like to see things from a different perspective for just a little bit of time, right? And so when you look at it from that, and you think about how we don't like to do that, and then we see things from our own. I mean, you've seen it. We've all seen it. We see somebody that we think we have a bad life, and then we see somebody that has no legs and no arms, and they're still killing it. Oh man, like Nick Santastasso, he's got no arms, no legs, one arm and one finger, and that guy is crushing it. He's crushing life. He's crushing the way he feels. He's one of the best keynote speakers out there. He pulls you to tears. He's smart as hell. And it's like, dude, how dare us complain in the context of others. And so it perspective is a healing thing. It makes us, you know, fall into gratitude. And when you get into the neuroscience of gratitude, it is now known that we cannot feel anxiety or depression if we truly feel gratitude. Now, what a lot of people do is they think they can dupe the gratitude system. Well, I do my gratitude practice every day. Well, then why are you so miserable? If you really did your gratitude practice, you would be a lot less judgmental. You would be a lot happier. You would be dealing with things and taking advantage of life a lot more. And it's just this reality. But we lack the perspective. And by the way, we kind of have to lack perspective. It's part of the human condition that we have to fight against. My buddy Brad Lee says this great thing. He said, you know, what would you do? You know, would you want, like $10 million? And like, yeah, of course I'd want it. It's like, okay, great. Would you trade the $10 million if you couldn't wake up tomorrow? Well, no, I'd rather wake up tomorrow. So you're saying that waking up tomorrow is more important than 10 million. So yeah. So then why don't you act like that? That was such a simple example, but I was like, dude, that's so profound. Like I woke up, I should be as if I won more than $10 million because I would give up 10 million to have this feeling, but yet we take it for granted. And so all of these things are so simple to understand. The answers are right in front of us. And to me, I just came to the point in my life where I can choose to ho-hum, or I can just work my fucking ass off and get it done. And at the end, I'll be better, smarter, and wiser. Even if I fail, I'll be better, smarter, and wiser for the next time. And I don't care about failing. I don't care because I've been failing my whole fucking life. And I've just been getting better my whole life. If fail equals better, then go fail. But some people think failure is the worst thing, so they don't. So this is all about perspective. The narrative that you choose, the story that you choose to tell, and it's a reflection of your inner philosophy. So sometimes if you don't feel what it is that I'm talking about, you got to fake your way through that. And the reason why I say fake it is because the words that we choose to verbalize out loud are more powerful than the inner words that we have inside our head. Sometimes we have words in our head. We can't always control those. The words of doubt, fear, insecurity. I got them too, but I won't verbalize them. And when I stopped verbalizing them, I started living into the other words. And your brain listens. Somebody said once, they said, be careful what you say because you are always listening. And I was like, how brilliant. Simple example. Okay, if I'm always listening, then I'm going to say, you know what? There's opportunity right now. This is the hand I'm dealt, and I'm going to play the hell out of these hands. I'll play the hell out of these cards. And you just start living into that. And it's you start realizing that you live into a new narrative, and the narrative is a construct of reality. I live into a new reality. That's just how it works.
Renee, I have had a ton of conversations with a lot of amazing people, but you really are one of those people that, because you've studied neuroscience, you study so many things that we're talking about. It's so much more of a profound conversation. And even myself, I'm starting to think of some of these things that I do that I'm like, oh my gosh, Renee's right. I need to be doing this better. Gratitude in particular. We're in this holiday season of giving and of gratitude and thankfulness. And even sometimes we overlook just the little things that we have to be grateful for and that truly do impact our lives every single day. Something that you mentioned that I really want to continue to build on here, especially when it comes to amplifying our influence going into this next year, is being able to, especially the way you've defined it, as we set ourselves up, as we try to allow ourselves to have more influence in this upcoming year, how do we actually do, how do we do it? There's got to be a way. I don't want a shortcut. I want what I love and respect about you so much, Renee, is you give it to us straight. You give it to us. This is how it is. Again, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. That's part of life's journey. As a matter of fact, as you mentioned, if failing is the way to win, shit, go out and fail a whole bunch, ladies and gentlemen, because that's how you're going to overcome it. So building our influence, making sure that we are amplifying our influence going into this next year, how are we able to build on that? What is the recipe for us to build and amplify that influence?
Really good questions, by the way. So there are a lot of things. You have to understand this concept of ethos first. Ethos was first talked about 2,000 years ago by Aristotle. And he talked about it in the context of his rhetorical triangle, his argumentative thought process of ethos, pathos, and logos. Ethos is your credibility, your trustworthiness, your credibility. Pathos is the emotional appeal, and logos is your logical appeal. So to persuade somebody, you have to have all three. You have to have a credible, who, in, you know, that's, and in today's world, you know, people look at followers and things like that. That is a form of credibility. And for me, it's not something I put emotional beef or put emotional stake in, but it is a format to say, am I getting eyeballs? So there's a sense of credibility. It's one measure of many. But I also built most of my career without any of social media eyeballs. So it's not the only one. And some of the best people I know don't have many followers. And some of the smartest people I know don't have many followers. So it's not the only one. So be careful on that. But the credibility, it's also talking about subjects that you are an expert in. Like you know, imagine me doing a workshop on the menstrual cycle and what women are getting wrong. Not a real credible subject matter for me. Or how to grow rich and thick hair. Not a real subject matter for me. And so the overweight person telling us how to lose weight, or the social media guru with, you know, with no engagement, no following, and poor social media presence. There's so many people out there that are outside of their lane. And I'm not telling you don't go out there and talk about what you love, but if you want to be a social media guru and consultant, then focus on becoming good at it first. If you want to become a sales trainer, then be good at it first. I know the sales training individual that is a sales trainer and can't sell their way out of a box. I mean, they can't sell anything. But they're a sales trainer. It's like, well, go sell something first. And not because I'm territorial, but because that's just what the world needs. And it's giving directions in a town that you've never been. Stop doing that. But then go to the town that you've been and give directions there. Like, why not do that? That's where you're credible. That's where your ethos is. Ways to grow your ethos. Write the article. Get on the stage. Write a book. Be the one that grow a business. Show your numbers at the top. I know people that haven't written books, but they're the number one producers. Okay, great. That's massive ethos. I had an ethos challenge over the last few years where I let my weight get way out of hand. I was 307 pounds and 45% body fat. And I was still just as good at what I'm doing then as I am now. Well, maybe a little bit better now, but I was still good. But at one point, so people gave me a pass on my health, but at some point I looked at myself in the mirror and I'm like, man, would I listen to me? And I started realizing that I had a real ethos challenge, and really, truly, it was an integrity challenge. I'm talking about all of these great things and suffering and discipline and sacrifice, but clearly I am not capable of even self-control. And that was a hard reality for me to look at. And so I had to take a hard look in the mirror and say, okay, I need to change physically. And we did the math this last week, and I've lost 102 pounds of fat, 102 pounds of fat, gained 30 pounds of muscle. But that gave me a new sense of clarity and a deeper sense of conviction around it too. And I'm not done, by the way. I mean, I'm still in the game. I still, like I was telling my wife earlier today, I go, you ever been sick of the food you're eating and you just want to go say, screw it and eat whatever you want? And she looks at me and she goes, yep. And that's all she said. And you're not doing it, basically. I said, I know. I just got to get past this moment. And it sucks. And it's emotional. And boo-hoo, I don't get to eat my foods anymore. And yeah, I felt all that stuff. But it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it just doesn't matter. And so, and those moments come and they go. But, you know, so getting your physicality in order is important too. Because your body is a billboard. Your body is a statement to the world of your level of discipline. Or genetics, depends, right? But most often it's a statement of your discipline and what's priority. So be the one. If you can write books, do that. If you can write articles, do it. Get on social media, put your opinions out there. If no one's listening, then maybe, you know, take a different approach. But, you know, usually it's no one's listening that you're trying to be someone else. And I told somebody one time, I said, the scariest thing, if you start following trends, what if you went viral for following a trend that you were really not all that equipped to handle? A trend that you weren't all that schooled in, but you went viral on a video because you followed a trend, and then you get on the shows and the podcast and they want you to talk about that thing you went viral on and you have no depth. That would be the saddest moment because you would be exposed. So go viral for what you love or stay in what you love for a long period of time. I did social for 12 years before anybody paid attention. 12. And so then I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on videos that nobody watched. But then finally somebody started watching. And so it's, you don't know, it wasn't a plan. It wasn't something it was a plan we were hoping, but you know, thank God the plan worked. So there's that. Speak, write, do all that stuff and go out there and do something that you have a feather in your cap that you did. Nobody can take away from you.
That is, I think everybody listening to this is like, of course, that makes sense. But are we doing it? Are we acting upon it? It takes so much. I have first kudos to you. I got mad respect for losing 100 pounds, dude. I've been there. I've lost over 100 pounds in my life before, and it is brutal. I was one time in my life 280 pounds, got back down to 180. It sucked. It is. There are days I'm right there with you where I'm just like, babe, can I, like, I want to go eat the chocolate cake. I want to go munch down on the burgers. And she's like, okay, but. It's what we choose to do. And now more than ever, in the market that we're in the mortgage and real estate industry, now is the time to take your stand. Yes, it's going to suck. Like, but this is when we see the true leaders rise above the occasion. Renee, I want to be respectful of your time. And as we start to wrap things up here, you've shared so many incredible nuggets. You've shared so many things of value for our industry. And I know there's not just one thing that we could piece together saying, hey, go do this and you're gonna amplify your influence in 2024. But if you were to give some parting words of wisdom, you just gave, we could end on this note and be good. But as we give some parting wisdom, as we all strive to amplify our influence, as we all strive to do a little bit better in this next year to come, what do you share with people right now?
I think staying on the theme of where people are at, realize that right now people are scared and they're highly distracted. The real estate industry is so distracted with this lawsuit. People are distracted with interest rates. And if you're in a competitive environment, the distraction's your friend. Because if most of your competitors are distracted, go get focused. Run when everyone else is walking. Practice when everyone else is. Sleep when everyone else is partying. And keep your mind right. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. Those are the four things I grew up doing in high school. You know, do your drinking and drugs, whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to do. But I say right now, when everyone else is distracted and running away from the problems, face them head on, be the one carrying that flag, driving things forward. Because guess what? Customers still need you. Your realtor partner still needs you. People still need to be in homes. And if you can work through this area, imagine how easy life will be when things lighten up a little bit.
What an incredible note to end on. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been, I know the last 30 minutes for me have been, I've started to be like, okay, it's time to focus. It's time to buckle down. Renee, I cannot thank you enough for all that you have shared, for the amazing leader that you are, and for all that you continue to give back to so many amazing men and women. So thank you so much for all that you do, brother. I really appreciate you,
man. Thanks for the opportunity to be on here. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you do, my man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. As always, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you. We love you. Now it's time for all of you to go shred, go show up, hustle, repeat every day. See ya.